Well, this morning we're going to return to the study we were in 2 weeks ago. And if you take out those notes, the title on there is Father God's Promises for Generous People. He's such a sweet, good, loving Heavenly Father. You know, I wish I'd come to know him earlier on in my life, so that when, you know, Kath and I would start to have children and so forth, that I might have been more impressed, so I could have tried to follow him and being that kind of a dad with my kids more than I was. But he wants to continue to talk to us this morning about being generous, because he's generous. He gave his only begotten son that you and I and our friends and neighbors, people we have the joy and maybe some of the people you don't have the joy of working with, that they might come to faith and be able to be wonderfully changed and join us one day when we go to be with him in heaven. So he's a giver and he wants us to be a giver. All I have to say, he is the wonderful example, and what we see him doing, he would like us to imitate. And he shared that with us 2 weeks ago. There are many rewards in Scripture, but I only selected 9 that he wants to give to you and to me who are generous. So the first reward that we looked at is Father God promises good things are going to happen to you and me who are generous. And I've been able to observe those things in the lives of many of you who are generous. Our Lord has been exceedingly good to you. You know, one of the families in our church that I know are generous with their time, their skills, their spiritual gift mix, and the things that God has given them by way of tangible assets for them to take care of on his behalf, as a young family. And they wanted to have children for a long time. And when the time came, he didn't just give them one out of the generosity, out of this gift of rewards that comes to those who are generous. He gave them 2, you know, one of each, a boy and a girl. And that's the way he is. His timing is just right. And for you mimicking him in just the way he wants to, he brings forth these rewards. The second reward we looked at 2 weeks ago was Father God promises your children will be blessed. And I gave a bit of a testimony myself about Kathy's and my kids. We have been blessed. They have been blessed. And just to have 2 daughters and a son was wonderfully amazing. I was raised with all boys, and having 2 daughters was just amazing to me. I mean, I had no idea. How do you take care of a daughter? You know, you can't push them around like you do boys, or, you know, you shouldn't fight with them anyway. And so, you know, it's like, I remember Julie when she was about 17, you know, that's kind of a rough time for boys and girls. But she was, you know, blessed of the Lord. But she was acting in a particular way that I needed to bring some correction verbally to her. And she got really mad. And so she started arguing with me. And that's not a good thing to do, because back then I would argue back pretty severely. And so finally she looked at me and she said, "Dad, if you had it to do all over again, would you have had me?" Now, I'm angry. And I know I shouldn't say what's in my fleshly heart at that moment. But that doesn't work either, dads, if you happen to have daughters and they haven't reached that stage yet. Because I paused. Remember, she said, if you had it to do all over again, would you have had me? I waited, and she said, oh, that's child abuse, because I didn't say anything. So you can't win, but anyway, if you are generous, the Lord is going to bless your kids. And then the third reward was, Father God promises to bless your work, your career, your ministry. And so how are things going at work? How are things going in your ministry? Can I butt into your conversation? Because I've got a different one right now. Okay, thank you. The fourth reward is that Father God promises you'll be happier. And I like that one. You'll be happier. And it's every reason that we should be more and more generous as we grow in Him. The more you surrender your life to Him, then the more like Him you're going to become. So we're going to pick up this morning with reward number 5. Father God promises your influence is going to increase. And if you think about it, why are you still here? You who have confessed and repented of your sins and asked Jesus to be your master and savior. Why do you think he left you here? And did you notice up here, 3 people had the gospel shared with them this past week, and 2 people prayed to receive Christ. But the reason he's left you here is that you're an influencer. He is going to use you on his behalf to influence other people in the gospel. When you came to faith, it would have been just as wonderful if he said, okay, Brett, now that you're in the faith, I'm taking you to be with me in heaven. And Kathy, now that you're in the faith, I'm going to take you to be with me in heaven. But he didn't. He left Brett and he left Kathy here because they're influencers, just like you who've come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are an influencer, and because you're generous, that influence is going to increase in your spheres of influence. People are going to notice there's something wonderfully different about you. So say with me, Abba Father, my influence with, if I'm generous, Abba Father's going to make me a greater influencer. If Father God, if I'm generous, I'm going to be a better influencer. Father God, if I'm generous, I'm going to be a better influencer. In Proverbs 11:24, you see it there? Let's read it aloud together. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Now look at that carefully. Only the one who gives freely. Remember, we talked 2 weeks ago about an open hand, not holding things tight for ourselves. He said to open your hand and give freely. He wants us to give freely because we're going to be all the richer. How do we know that? Because he promised that this is what's going to take place in your life. And if we withhold he or she what we should give, we're only going to suffer want. And I've seen that in my own life. If you think about it, maybe you have instances that you can think about. But I know for a fact, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds and only suffers want. The world of a generous person gets larger and larger, and the world of someone who is stingy gets smaller and smaller. Our Lord wants us to imitate him, and he wants you and I to be a witness for him as to what he would like people to be like. Generous with other people. Your world expands when you're faithful with what Abba Father has given you. The opposite is also true. As I said, when you're stingy, your world gets smaller. This isn't in your notes, but write it down. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. This talks about the cheerful giver. This talks about the hilarious giver. Hilarion is the term that is used here in the text, and it's the word we get hilarious from. One who really enjoys giving. And I know that many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. There is great joy in your life, in your heart, in your mind, when you are in a position to be able to be a generous giver to other people. But here in 2 Corinthians, Paul's second letter, Jesus is saying this through him to you and me this morning. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And that makes sense, even if we're not an agricultural society, right? If you go out and you've got one handful of seed and you're scattering it, but you've got a whole bag of seed that's strapped on your arm, but you don't scatter that. You're only going to get what was that one handful. That's all you're going to receive back. The rest you kept. For whatever reason, you kept to yourself. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully, you pull that thing, that sack off your shoulder, and you go out there and you just start scattering the seed all over the place. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Makes perfect sense. In Proverbs, this is not in your notes either, chapter 28 and verse 22. A stingy man hastens after wealth. A stingy person, they're not satisfied with what they have. They want more, and they do whatever it needs to do to take to get more of the wealth. A stingy man, or a woman for that matter, hastens after wealth and does not know that poverty will come upon him or her. The American Christian needs to understand this because, you know, I have said this from time to time and other pastors have said this from time to time, and that is, you know, why do you look like you have the flu? Every time I see you, your face makes me think of someone who's sick. You have the flu. Whereas Christians, we should be the ones that are exercising the smile muscles. People should be able to see in us, we're happy. We are thrilled because we're generous people. Now, that doesn't mean, well, you know, Ron, I don't have $1 million to give away. That's what Nina keeps telling me. I don't have the money to give away. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your whole of life, time, treasure, talent, exactly, spiritual gift mix, and yes, the wealth, whatever amount of that is, the Lord has given you. But it's the willingness. It is the heart that is generous. I give what I can give. And I give it in a lavish way. Some of us can give lots of time. That is a treasure. Whatever time you give to anyone or you have wasted, you can't get it back. So it's neat to be able to invest it in the life of someone. It's interesting. We have some folks that during COVID, they went to another church. And during that time, they were thinking initially that we'll only be here until all of you are out of Mass. And once you get out of Mass, then we'll come back. Well, after months, you know, you kind of make a home for yourself in the other church. That makes perfect sense. But it's interesting that one of the individuals of those that went to this other church has asked their new pastor to come sit under me and be discipled. But they're over there in the other church when they used to be with us, but he wants this, their new pastor, to be a pastor like me. I don't understand that, but nonetheless, it's the way it goes. And so I'm investing my time in a young man, a young dad, a young husband, a young pastor, and that's good. Now, I should be like other pastors. Well, no, you know, you left. I'm done with you. No. Why would the Lord ask this bizarre thing? In 37 years, I've never had that asked of me. And then I get it now. What a blessing to speak into this young man's life. I can be used of the Lord to help him maybe not hit some logs in the road along the way and save he and his wife and both of them because... When a pastor's wife hears people picking on their husband, it hurts her, maybe even more than it hurts him. So at any rate, it's just kind of sweet that that kind of thing has taken place. What Jesus wants you and I to embrace more of, because some of you are really already here, and that is whoever sows sparingly. That's why life is so sparse for you. The blessings, the rewards aren't there because you're not generous. I want you to reconsider the level of generosity that you're at and trust Him to help you to be more generous and to accomplish things for the kingdom's cause. Coming back over here to where we were in reward number 5. So we need to remember that Father God promises you're going to be a greater influencer in this world. And that's what He wants. That's what He really enjoys, watching His kids influencing other people for the kingdom cause. Number 6. The 6th reward for a generous person. Father God promises you'll end up with more. Father God promises you'll end up with more. Say that with me. Father God promises you'll end up with more. What's He talking about here? Well, let's look at Luke chapter 6, verse 38. I love this passage because it's talking about tangible things. But the principle that's there is what I've already shared with you a bit. But it is so magnanimous because this is what Jesus has done. He was magnanimous in what He provided for you and for me. He says, and it's Jesus that's speaking. So He's talking right to you this morning using me. And He says, give. Give. And it will be given to you. Well, that's pretty easy to understand, right? If we give of our time, our talent, our treasure, our skills, our gift mix, the finances that he's given us to take care of for his sake, give and it will be given to you. You know, we're not a rich church, but we are a generous church. Sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? But it's not. You know, we've had single moms, and they have contacted me, and I would listen to what they have to say, and I'm out of work, and I can't make this month's rent payment. So we make the necessary sacrifice, and we give this single mom $3,000 to make her rent payment so that she isn't evicted. Another single mom, she was $3,000 behind in her DWP bill. That's because she was like 3, 4, 5 months behind. And they were going to turn off the electricity. So, we came up with the money and they left the lights on. Give and it will be given to you. This past week, wonderful, wonderful to see the hand of our Lord Jesus working. He just sends us this lovely lady. She's dressed comfortably. You know, she doesn't look like she's rich. She isn't dressing in such a way as to say anything other than, I'm a humble lady. I'm a humble mom. And she doesn't attend our church. She's never been in our church. I showed her all over the church campus because I just felt like she needed to see, in part, what it was that our Heavenly Father had told her. I want you to go to that church, us, and I want you to give this gift. Well, I thought I saw what she handed Annette. I thought it was a $20 bill. It was a $100 bill. She doesn't know us from Adam. But the Lord asked her to come to us and give us a $100 donation. So when I leave for Maui, I want to thank you all for giving it to me. Just kidding. Annette wouldn't let me have it. So it was just a touch from the Lord. It wasn't $3,000, but it was a touch from the Lord to say, look, I know you're in the red financially with the budget. Here's $100. But not only that, what else happened last week? Maybe you saw it, some of you. We had a whole bunch of cars. We were planning for 80 cars and trucks and so forth to be in our $120,000 parking lot. And we met with this movie scout, and what a sweet, fun lady she is. Pray for Laura. Laura said that maybe she would come visit us. So pray for Laura that she'll come visit us and become maybe a part of our church family. But she talked with us, and we signed a contract. And you know what? This movie company came. They came on Thursday late afternoon. They were gone by Friday morning. And they left us a check for $2,500. Is that not cool? Give and it will be given to you. Good measure. Think of it. You got a bowl in your lap. It's got all that Halloween candy in it. Your favorite child's Halloween candy. that he or she never gets to see because when he or she goes to bed, you steal it. I know that's true. I've done that. And my daughter Mindy does that to her daughter, did that to her daughters. So, at any rate, imagine you have this bowl and it's filled about halfway up. It's just got about halfway of all that candy in there. But then he says, it's not only filled with good to good measure, but it's pressed down. So imagine you're up there pushing all this chocolate together and oh, it's going to taste so good. And then shaking together, you shake it so there's no room between each piece of candy and it's running over. It's running over. You know, it's going into your lap. You don't know what to do. You've got so much, it's running on the floor. I can't eat it all at once. But it's running over, and it will be put into your lap. This is what he's talking about. He's talking about being generous because you're doing what you're called to do. You're doing as you've been asked. You're doing as you've seen him do time and time and time again in your life and the lives of others. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Some people in our church, and I know in many churches across America, people are missing out on his blessings, upon his generosity that he wants to give. All of these rewards to those who are generous, but he can't give them to them. It's like, when they get to heaven, maybe there'll be a whole wall that's 6 miles long and a mile high, and all these blessings are there, and they all have the same person's name on them. He couldn't give them to him. He couldn't give them to her because she wasn't willing, or he wasn't willing to be generous as their Heavenly Father is. It's important for us not only to read our Bibles, it's important for us to listen. And what he's saying here, he's saying to you, but I'm going to make it personal. He says, Ron, give and it will be given to you. You hear me, Ron? I hear you, Lord. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap. I know, Lord, you've done this time and again to me. Thank you. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Did you hear him? Did you hear him? I guess I need an audiologist to bring in next Sunday, right? Because it's like we're not listening. I asked the question. Did you hear him?
Yes.
All right. See, that's important. A lot of people are just like what took place. They read it. They don't hear it. They don't speak back to him. I hear you. Help me. I want to do what you've asked of me. I want you to be proud of me. Rejoice. Look at your notes. Rejoice in this. Abba's economy says we don't give to get a blessing. We do not give to get a blessing. We're not part of the health and whatever you call that other health and wealth theology thing. That's all sin. That's a bunch of hogwash. That's a false gospel. Abba's economy says we don't give to get a blessing. We give to be a blessing. Is that better?
Yes.
We give to be a blessing. And when people give to be a blessing, do them the honor of just simply, oh, no, or, making any excuse, just say thank you. Say thank you. Don't take away from their blessing to bless you. I know it's hard because pride gets involved, but just say thank you. Thank you so very much. Because you're saying, I can't return it. That's not a gift. A gift is given freely. We just say thank you. And tell the Lord thank you too. Looking back at rejoice at this, Abba's economy says, we don't give to get a blessing. We give to be a blessing. But the truth is, you can't outgive God. You cannot give him. We used to have a lady who was part of our church family. I can mention her name because she gave testimony to the church when she was here years ago. Her name's Barbara Kasparian. Tremendous lady, really smart. She had all these various, she had some other properties and so forth and so on. And she says, there's no way I can meet all my bills if I give generously to the work of the Lord. And she said, so I put it all to the test. I gave him out of the first fruits of what has been provided me. I paid all my bills. And you know what? I had something left over. You cannot give God. Get it? Good, okay. Abba promises you'll be happier, have more influence, and more of his blessings than you had in the past. Our seventh reward. Father God promises to meet all our needs. All of our needs. You don't put G-R in front of that word needs. It's just needs that he promises to meet. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25, whoever brings blessings will be enriched. And I'm sorry, I'll say that again. I was getting a phone message. Whoever brings blessings will be enriched. And one who waters will himself be watered. Now, Proverbs are not promises. Proverbs are a general statement as to how our Heavenly Father works. So here, Solomon is saying, whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and one who waters will be watered himself or herself. Proverbs 28:27, whoever gives to the poor will not want. Whoever gives to the poor will not want. It's not our place to be a judge of someone who is poor, such as one of these folks that are homeless. He didn't raise you up to be his son or his daughter and a judge. He raised you up. You can check the fruit of other things and so forth and so on. But we are not to be judging other people. He wants us to give to the poor, and those of us who give to the poor will not want. But he who hides his eyes will get many a curse. In Proverbs 19, verse 17, not in your notes, Proverbs 17. Proverbs 19, verse 17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord. Have you ever thought about that? Have you read that before? Did it sink in? I've read it many times, and I have to be honest, it did not sink in. It didn't get anchored. To give to the poor is like giving to the Lord. It's like looking into this poor person's eyes, and you give them something. Your time, your talent, part of your treasure, out of your ministry, out of your out of the finances you have, you give to them, and it's like giving to the Lord. I like giving to the Lord. But I have to be careful not to judge the poor. He's just going to use it and go out and get himself a short dog. He's going to go out and get him some more smack. I don't know that he is or she is or not. But if the Lord created the divine appointment and you have this poor person who is in a need and you recognize from their being disheveled and so forth and so on, and you have the ability to give, to be generous to them in whatever way, then we need to be generous. We need to be generous. Who created the poor? He created you too. They're there. Why are they there? Maybe they're there so that we humble ourselves and in meekness we follow our Lord and give them something. Think of it. He looked at me and said, that rascal, that dirty, no good man needs my son's salvation. I was poor in spirit. I needed Christ like a sinner needs Christ. And he didn't withhold that. He gave me that generous, generous gift. So whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him or her for his or her deed. Now that is sweet. That is loving. That is so great. Sounds too good to be true, but Abba says it over and over and over again in Scripture. In other words, if we read his love letter, we'll understand because he says it. If he says it once, we should get it. But if he says it many times, we're doing ourselves a real disservice and the people around us as well if we're not practicing it. The scriptures tell us if you're generous with what he gives you, then he will meet your needs financially, physically, spiritually. When I first came into the ministry, the church started me out at $24,000 a year. That was in 1984. I had been making in law enforcement over $45,000 a year. So it's quite a quite a difference between what I was making and what I'm now making. And now we're a family of five and making $24,000 a year. And that's it. No benefits of any kind, no Social Security being taken out, nothing. Just $24,000 a year. One of the plumbers in the church at that time, he came up to me and he says, Ron, how do you make it on $24,000 a year? He said, I couldn't make it on $24,000 a year. And I said, he takes care of us. We had some savings, but nonetheless, he took care of us. He didn't meet our greeds, but he took care of all of our needs. And he'll do the same for you. If this is an area that needs to be interrupted by being more generous in all these particular areas. Our eighth reward. Father God promises to multiply what he gives. Well, it could be what he gives you. Father God promises to multiply what he gives him or her who is generous. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, it says, "For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you." He will put us through certain things, but it is to produce a wonderful generosity that mimics him in us for the benefit of other people. That's just like Armony. That was the name of the lady that came and visited us with the $100. Armony. Sweet, sweet name. When you plant a seed, you don't get a single seed back. I don't know if you've ever studied in any of this or not. You get hundreds and thousands of seeds back depending on what it is that you're planting from one seed. It's the principle of multiplication. It's like the 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know, the people, those 5,000 guys, and I'm sure some of them had their wives with them, so it was over 5,000, and some of them had their kids with them, so it's way, way over 5,000, but you got 5 loaves and 2 fish. These people thought they'd hit pay dirt, because at the end of taking those fish and loaves and praying over them, Jesus had 12 baskets of leftovers after feeding all those people. When you plant a seed, you don't get a single seed back. You get lots of them. And so it is with our Heavenly Father. He does it with money. He does it with our time. He does it with our energy. He does it with so many things. Our last reward before we go, before I let you go on your journey to find the other rewards that are there in the Word of God just waiting for you, is Father God promises that your giving is stored up in heaven. Your giving is stored up in heaven. Your kindness, your generosity, your sacrifices are noted by Abba. And there is a record in heaven. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 18 through 19, Paul writes his son in the faith. It's not his son by a wife, but it's his son in the faith. And he says, tell them, tell who? Tell these people who've got money. Tell them to use their money to do good. Do good. So he's told me to use the money he has provided me to do good. I am saying to you this morning on behalf of him that you are to use the money he has provided you to do good. Get it? Good. All right. Looking back at the text. They should be rich in good works, because that's what you were created for. You were created. Look, if you go back to Ephesians chapter 2, and beginning looking in there about 8, 9, 10, 11, you know, you were created for good works. Before the world began, you were created for good works, that you should go do them. You are that light on a hill. You're to do the good work so people will praise and honor your Heavenly Father. They should be rich in good works. Get it? Good. All right. You should use your money to do good, be rich in good works, and generous to those in need. By the way, have I talked to you about, I have a great need before we go to Maui in July. You should be rich in good works, generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. Have you got a reserve of various kinds to be able to give to people who need your time, who need your skill, who need what your ministry can provide them, or the money you have? Again, Ron, I really don't like you talking about that money thing because I haven't got much of it. You know what? You don't have to have much of it. I had 20 bucks in my pocket. That was it. And that was all the fun money I was going to have for the rest of the week. Here it is Monday, and I've gone to the market. And here's a fellow standing outside the market, and he really looks like he's in trouble. Do I look like I'm in trouble? I'm going to be generous. I'm not going to say what I would like to say. See? You got an example from an evil person speaking to a holy person. Okay. Okay, I didn't have any fun money. But this gentleman walked away. He had 20 bucks. Okay? I've done that where I only had 5 bucks left of the funny money. How about you? If that's all you've got, that's all you've got. But look at yourself in the mirror. Has not the Lord done well by you? You could be the poorest person in our church family. And you are rich compared to that person. And there's a lot of them. Especially not in, out of this country. So, we are to use money to do good. We're to be rich in good works. Lots and lots of good works. Generous to those in need. Always ready to share with others. Always ready to share with them. You know, John Bunyan, I'm not talking about Paul. Remember, Paul was a big guy, and he had that ox, blue. But John Bunyan, back in the 1600s, this guy got thrown in jail for preaching. But you see, he didn't have a license to preach. So he didn't get thrown in jail for 6 months. He got thrown in jail for over 11 years. For preaching the gospel. He wrote all kinds of neat books, one of them being Pilgrim's Progress. And for over 100 years, that was the second most popular imprinted book after the Bible, Pilgrim's Progress. It's kind of Arminian in its theology, but, you know, Calvin won't roll over in his grave. He's in heaven. But Paul, John said, you have not lived today until you have done something for someone that cannot pay you back. Think about that. You have not lived today until you have done something for someone who cannot pay you back. By doing this, looking back at our text in 1 Timothy 6, by doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. Abba has set up a bank account in heaven for each of us. We know it's true because Jesus mentions this multiple times in Scripture. It's more important than your retirement account may be. It's going to last trillions and trillions of years. This is a passage of scripture that should warm the heart of every genuine believer. The Lord is going to help me accomplish these things because He has asked me to do it. Every time you use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends, you're investing in this account. You can look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 9. Jesus tells us, when you give to those who have a need, you're lending to our Heavenly Father. I like that. And He's going to give back to those of us who do that with interest. He just is magnanimous towards His kids. So as an action steps, things to think about, things to germinate your own mind as to what you can do. Think of a single mom who has kids, whatever their age. I have a daughter. She's a single mom. She has 5 kids. She works full time in the school district. She watches over and takes care of all the foster kids in that district. She's like a mom to them. If you know of a single mom, why don't you tell her what day of the week? Maybe it won't be this week. Maybe it'll be next week. Maybe we have to go into next month. But what day of the week can I come over and take your kids, be with my kids, or just take your kids, bring them over to my house, and here's a certificate. I want you to go and get your toes painted. I want you to go get your fingernails done. Well, if you have kids, then maybe you can have a sleepover with her kids. We're just going to give you a break. Sound nice? That'd be cool, wouldn't it? How about you see someone who comes to church on a regular basis and you see them wearing the same clothes? Maybe it's the only really nice set of clothes they have. Maybe you want to go up to them and say, I have a gift certificate here to Men's Club. Why don't you go over and buy yourself a suit on me? Because I am such a good person. No, you don't do it that way. Got a story for you, and I'm going to close with this. It's a young man. He's poor. And he's at a department store. He's outside, and it's really cold. And he doesn't have any shoes on. He's looking in the window, and there happened to be a display of shoes in there. Tennis shoes. Have you seen the price of what athletic shoes are today? They're insane. I mean, I used to get my Converse or tennis shoes for, what, $4 or $5? Nike wants you to spend $120 or something for a pair of shoes. Anyway, he's looking at the tennis shoes. And this lady walks up to him, shyly, and asks, "What are you doing?" And he says, "I was just asking God for a brand new pair of tennis shoes." Well, she said, why don't you come with me? We're going to go into this store. And they went into the store, and she looked at him, and she said, I want you to pick out 3 pairs of tennis shoes. And he picked out 1 pair of shoes, and so, you know, she had one of those diaper things, you know, where you clean the behind of the little baby with, and cleaned off his feet. And she bought a package of new socks, and she put one of the pairs of socks on his feet and told him to try on the pair of tennis shoes, and then try on the second pair, because the only shoes he had ever had were hand-me-downs. After she had paid the purchase price, he handed all three boxes of these shoes to the kid. He was wearing one of the pairs, and she said, enjoy your shoes, son. And the little boy looked at her in amazement. He said, nobody has ever taken such an interest in me before. As serious as could be, with tears running down his cheeks, he said, lady, can I ask you a question? Are you God's wife? We need to learn to be even better to people than we've already been. And some of you have been super magnanimous. I know that. But we can be better. We can do better. Love and generosity that are seen in your actions and in mine. This world needs to see more of. This world doesn't need another, what I just gave you, a sermon. What it needs is to see us, the American church. It needs to see GHCCers. Many of you can lead the charge, family. Many of you can lead the charge in this. But they need to see us being good to people with the gifts that God has given us. The world needs to see you and me in action for the cause of Christ and being generous. Being generous. And don't forget, those 9 rewards aren't the only rewards that are coming your way. There's many, many more. And just think of the reward of knowing. I put a smile on my head in my Father's face. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Father, I love what your prophet Isaiah once said. And as I read it this morning, he's saying it again, loud enough in my ears to hear. And I want so very much from my heart to adopt it and never let it go. And that is, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. And you have shared with us wonderful, loving, gracious words these last several weeks. Words that, if adopted, will bring blessing to you, Father, and will bring blessing into the lives of people we may not even know or ever really get to know. But we will be sent of you to be a blessing in his or her life, their life, for for the cause of your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, may it be that the Word of God does not remain on the pages of this lovely book. May your words, as we are told, come forth active and alive, and demonstrate their activity and being alive by the way we live our lives for your glory, your honor, and the benefit of other people. Please, Father, may we learn from one another, from those who are truly generous in our church family. May they be our teachers. And may we thank you even here and now for them who are in our church family and are already doing what you taught us these past couple of Sundays. For I ask this sincerely in the wonderful, generous name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.